welcome to This Versus That, Making Wedding Decisions with Kelly McWilliams. This podcast is for you if you're making a wedding decision and want to know what to consider before saying, I do, to all the things that will make your wedding experience a great one. I'm your host, Kelly McWilliams, and I'm so glad to be a part of your wedding planning journey. In each episode, you can count on me and my expert wedding co-hosts to give you everything it takes to make the best decisions for the wedding that you're dreaming of. I am so excited. I know. I say that every time. I'm so excited about this episode. But this one's different because the topic came right from a maid of honor. She sent me an Instagram DM and said, hey, Kel, are you planning on doing an episode on toasts and speeches? Because I need some help. And I said, that is such a great idea. Because every wedding has some kind of toast or speech going on. And there's so many questions that I get just before people, quote unquote, hit the stage. We should answer them right now. And I thought, what better person to do this with than Lance, my editor, because he is a DJ. So between the two of us, I think we've got like 50 some odd years in weddings behind us. We have seen it all, folks. So during this episode, we are going to discuss when speeches and toasts should happen. We're going to talk about who should be invited to do them. And when I say when they should happen, even just if they should happen at your wedding or at your rehearsal dinner or groom's dinner. And then we also talk about when within the evening they should happen. We talk about whether to have open mic night, which you're going to very quickly find out our opinions on that. And then we talk about how to prepare for toasts and speeches, like what you should include, how long that they should be, about where you stand, about how you hold the microphone, which I had no idea about until now. So, yeah, this is, and there are decisions to be made with this, but this is actually a very informative episode. So let me tell you, I know Lance has been on many times, but I just want to tell you a little bit more about him, just in case you haven't heard any of the previous episodes. Lance Bannon is a musical force with a very calming presence. One might ask, how does that add up to a DJ that can deliver an energetic dance floor? Well, it comes down to experience. From the 90s to now, Lance's ability to read a room is second to none. Based in Dallas, Lance has entertained thousands across the country. Weddings, galas, and celebrity events are all a part of Lance's impressive portfolio of work. This DJ is all about the details. And guys, I can tell you, from him being my editor to co-hosting so many shows, he really is about the details. His work begins well before the event starts, with prep regimens that rival many. I'm just so humbled that he will, you know, that he's a part of this and honored. And he has so much great feedback. So Lance, the funny story about how this topic came up.
Okay.
My next wedding, the end of October, it is, I think, the sister of the bride. Mm-hmm. Pretty positive. She sent me a DM. She's like, I think you should do an episode on toasts and I think and speeches. I was like, you know what? We haven't talked about that at all. And we really should. Because, boy, decisions should be made, and I feel like so often they just aren't. Like, they're not even made. Mm-hmm. They're not even right. considered. Right. And that I think, is, like, the biggest problem. Sometimes they're great. Sometimes some mm-hmm. toasts and speeches are so phenomenal, but it was because the decision was made in advance to prepare.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Preparation is everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like even... And it's been a minute since I've been in a wedding. I can speak off the cuff, but off the cuff is still with thought. There's still at some point that I had to kind of quiet the world for however many minutes and go, okay, where am I headed with this? Where do I want to land with this?
Yeah.
And then at least knowing that bare minimum, I can just talk. But for I talk for a living. So people that can do that, you know, even that, please know that it's a special talent, and that if that's not something you do, or people haven't come up and say, wow, you're, you know, kind of a natural speaker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Prep the toast. I've seen people holding their phones and sheets of papers that have said the most beautiful words and nothing took away from it because they were holding some form of notes or an exact speech. The fact that they took the time to write and set out those beautiful words and make sure those thoughts were communicated was worth everybody's ears.
Yeah. Oh, I so agree with you on that. So here's a couple of things that I want to make sure come up in our conversation. I want to take it from, I want to talk about first deciding who should give toasts and speeches at your wedding.
Yes.
Also want to talk about, you have to hold me accountable for making sure we talk about these things. Sure. Whether they should be at the wedding or at the rehearsal dinner or some places called groom center the night before. And then also when it should occur in the timeline at the reception. So that's the logistical end of it. And then I also want to talk about the decisions in how they're delivered and like how long they should be and the things that should be spoken about and not spoken about. So because I feel like every single part of this, there's a decision to be made on like all those different things. That's a lot. And this is just for 6 minutes, 9 minutes of the evening. Mm-hmm. They're kind of crucial.
It's significant. You're asking the room to be quiet and pay attention to the special bond, not only between you and, you know, whatever side of the couple, which would really be both technically.
Yeah.
But also, this is how you are sending them off into their marriage. These are your well wishes, your prayers, your regards, and that shouldn't be taken lightly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. Okay, so let's talk about the logistical parts first. Yes. And then we'll talk about like the delivery. Mm-hmm. What was the first? Oh, picking. Picking who should be giving toasts and speeches at your wedding.
Yes.
Okay. And I've seen it all.
So I will start with what I believe to be the first no-no.
Okay.
Open mic toast.
Oh my gosh. So
your face is so hilarious.
Well, okay. So I've been a part of one of these weddings where I was a participant in everybody makes a speech kind of thing. And I've also been a wedding planner at one of these. So I'm going to give you both my perspectives on it.
Okay.
In the one instance where I was a guest and I noticed that there wasn't necessarily a plan put in place for this and that people were just coming up as a guest, I was intimidated by that fact that so many, and to the point where I felt like I had to. And I think that was very much what happened from three people just got up and grabbed the mic and started talking to, okay, if you don't get in line, then that means that you don't care as much about the couple. Like it came across that way. And then so it was almost like, and you know me, I love to talk. So there's no reason, like, I'm going to do it no matter what. I have no fear of speaking in public to anybody. I love to do it. So for me, it was like, okay. But at the same time, at this wedding in particular, I didn't know that it was appropriate for me to be speaking at their wedding. You know, like I didn't, but I was compelled to because 10 people had, and there was only like 40 of us there. So, and I loved what I was able to say to the couples, to the couple at that time, but I don't want to say that I felt like I was forced to, but it just was a little bit of an uncomfortable circumstance because it was unexpected. Also, then I'm thinking about the people that aren't as comfortable as I am. For example, my husband, like, put a mic in front of him and he's just I don't know what he would do because that's not his comfort zone. So mm-hmm. for anyone else who is sitting there in that situation who, like, and they're feeling like, oh my gosh, are we the bad guys because we didn't? I would never want my guests to feel that way. So I think kind of, you know, making an effort to say from the get-go, we have a speech tonight from so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, the MC saying this, I think could like stop that, like nip it in the bud right then and there. So that doesn't happen. Also, I was a wedding planner at a rehearsal dinner where it was open mic night. Those chosen speeches went on for probably a solid 45, 50 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
And I mean, just nobody, and you know, drinking had happened and it just went on and on and on. And I've seen that happen multiple times. So it's a decision to be made before you get to that night, who's going to speak, or if you are going to have open mic night. And if it's going to be open mic night, then you really need to say, you know, anyone's welcome to, you know, grab the mic or stand up and make a toast at any time. But, you know, let's try to keep it short, guys. You know, I don't think there's anything negative to be said about making that clear.
Well, two things. I think there are two versions of couples that do that. Mm-hmm. I think one, a couple might assume that that's just their way of being nice and giving everybody the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I will say, while a beautiful gesture, the logistics and time layout of the typical wedding just does not allow for anything that open.
No.
And then number two, for couples that are very sentimental and they're close to their circle, my suggestion would be whether 100% professional or someone that can fit the setting that is doing it in more of an informal style, have a setup where your guests are able to record them on video and you can watch it later.
Oh, that's nice. That's a really good idea. That's a really good idea. Yeah, like a video wishes kind of thing, or like my personal toast to you.
Exactly. Oh,
I love that, Lance. The more I think about that, and I know it's only been 10 seconds, I love that idea.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I mean, and it could be as sophisticated as dedicating a backdrop and, you know, lighting and all the works. Or it could be as casual as, hey, we set up a camera in the corner, but, you know, make it look nice.
Yeah.
And we're just going to let it roll. And because the cool thing about it is at that point, if the length gets out of hand, you're watching this in the privacy of your own home.
You can fast forward.
You can pause. You can go to the bathroom, come back to it, split it up, whatever the case may be, but still receive all that love, which is what you want. It's not so much about it being done in front of the audience.
Yeah.
And then plus, if somebody says something crazy, at least it's just between you and your new spouse.
Yes. Yes. And not broadcast. Right. Amongst 200 people, they really didn't need to hear that story.
And they're staring at you for your reaction.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, that's such a great idea, Lance. I love that. Have you had anyone do that at one of your weddings?
You know, as a vendor, no. But actually, one of my best friends, one of the literally the very last or most recent, whatever you want to call it, wedding I was in, he did that. Mm-hmm. My best friend did that.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah, I'm right. I wrote that down. Like,
mentally. Yeah, it can be very nice.
Yeah, I think I love that idea, actually. Mm-hmm. Okay, so picking the people. So now that we've talked about that, if you're going to, if you can, I would suggest, because, you know, your wedding, you want your wedding reception to be well-rounded, and to make sure that you prioritize, you know, what's most important to you during your wedding. But you know, there's always a time limitation. So if it's important to you that a specific three people speak, but you know, really time's only going to allow for that to happen over 10 minutes. It's just a matter of saying to those three people, here's the thing. We really need the toasts or speeches to be 2 to 4 minutes each. And from my experience over hundreds of weddings, that seems to be the sweet spot. Now, where I will take away from that is the person hosting the wedding, typically the welcome speech or father of the bride, father of the groom, whoever's hosting that gives that first speech, they should be allotted the time that they want to take for it.
Yes. And you know what? I say we backtrack, you know, in real time. Mm-hmm. And make sure that people figure out what toast and what speeches, because I think people conflate the two. I think sometimes people take a welcome for a toast and a toast for a welcome, and they're not the same.
They're not. Yeah.
So speak from a planner standpoint. I have a view, but I have a feeling it's going to match yours. So lead the way on both the difference and the timing of between welcome and toast, and you know how, in my opinion, they should be separated.
Yes. Okay. So while I do try to guide my couples through the timeline and the flow of the reception, as I shared that you do as well, Lance, when there is a coordinator or planner involved, these things can happen at different points in the evening. And it also, you know, actually can come from the catering direction, because some places don't allow for breaks between first and second course, and it has to be served straight through. But if there's opportunity to break these things up, I'm on the side of split them up. And
yes,
but here's what I'm going to say. A welcome toast is the first speech or toast, and doesn't have to necessarily be a toast, but something is being said that should happen before any food gets served. It's, you know, because you're welcoming them into the reception, into the evening. So it's like coming right after cocktail hour, or if you're not doing a cocktail hour, coming right from the ceremony, you're inviting them into that space where everything is settled down for just a moment, and you're welcoming them. You're saying, we're so glad you're here. I'm so thankful that we're here to celebrate, that you're here to celebrate with us. And we're honoring these two people who have just gotten married. And it's wonderful when this welcome speech speaks to the couple, both individually and as a now married unit. So that is a welcome speech. Quite often, and most often, it's given by the host of the event.
And let me jump in and say the two pieces of advice, because I know your audience is built up of a lot of couples, is first, make sure, you know, father, the groom, whoever's doing it, one, don't feel obligated to a length of time. People hear the word speech and sort of think that it needs to have some length and girth. No,
it doesn't have to.
It can literally be a, hey, thanks for being here. We're looking ahead to a great evening. Enjoy dinner. And if those three sentences will do it, if they want to say more, they could certainly say more, but they don't have to say more. And then two, make sure that whoever you appoint to do that has a clear understanding of what they do, because there's nothing worse than them saying cheers and nobody in the room has a drink but them.
Oh, my gosh. I've seen it, unfortunately, too many times. Yeah. The difference between a toast and a speech is the drink, if you're going to cheers them at the end. So just so you know, and that is a decision also that you need to make with your catering team. If there needs to be a toast pour of champagne or Prosecco or any kind of like any special drink that they're supposed to have for a toast, it needs to be there before that begins.
Yes.
So that's, you know, another timeline logistical thing that you need to have in play. Very, very, very often the person giving the welcome forgets to bring that beverage with them, or because they're holding papers or something like that, they don't have it. They don't have their drink in hand. So mm-hmm. it's important that there's someone standing off to the side who can hand that to them at the very end, or that it's placed at a small table either behind them or next to them so that they can pick it up real quickly and raise a glass. Yes. So if it's a toast, you're raising a glass. If it's a speech, you're just going up there to say what you're going to say. That's
at whatever length, and preferably, I'm not going to say short. Short's not my favorite word, mm-hmm. but abbreviated.
Yes. Well, but like, see, Lance, so here's what I say. Like, if it's a host of evening, and like, I think they're kind of thoughtful when they, I think that 2 to 4 minutes is a sweet spot, like really. But if you're a 30-second person, you're a 30-second person, which I fully understand. But I do think you should be welcoming that are people that are there, but also addressing the people that, like, the guests of honor, the people who just got married.
And I don't disagree. And I think that's just a matter of me putting context behind the word abbreviated.
Oh, okay.
There, mm-hmm. I think any element like that has levels of detail. And I think in the context of speeches and time sensitivity, people have to function in speaking about highlights and not detail.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's how I use the word abbreviated. Yes. You know, hit all the points you want to hit, but abbreviating means hitting the highlights.
Got it.
You don't have to rush. Fully you don't have to focus on being agree. Short.
Fully yeah. agree. It doesn't have to be the whole story. Give us the bullet point edition.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So that's welcome. Then mm-hmm. there are the toast. Traditionally, and again, you know, I'm all about, like, you can have tradition, you can create new ones, or you can forego them completely. But the two most common are best man and maid of honor toast. They can happen at the wedding, or they can happen at your rehearsal dinner or groom's dinner. They can take place in either. And it might be about how much time you have. But those, what I suggest, and I think that you're in the same, and you can say the same. No, Kelly, I disagree. I think they should be broken up. I don't think all three should happen in the same time frame, because there's just a whole lot of talking, especially if they are of the 4 to 6 minute group instead of the 2 to 4 minute group. That's just a long time of people sitting there wanting, going, where's my steak and shrimp? You know, like that kind of thing. So, and with those often are not with that you can toast with those, or you can, it can just be a speech. I find that most often they do bring a cocktail up there with them, but traditionally, and this can be different, the champagne toast is with the welcome, and the maid of honor, best man speeches, if they end up being toast, can be with whatever drink you have at the table. And same for them. It's totally kosher to do that.
And I don't disagree. I think part of one of the fascinating things about your podcast and focusing it towards couples and decisions they have to make and processes during the wedding is learning what happens in different regions.
Oh, what is it like there?
Here, mm-hmm. and let me just say most, because obviously I'm not at all weddings, mm-hmm. but most weddings, the dinner courses are served straight through.
No break in between.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what I encourage couples to do in the name of time is towards the end of dinner, towards yes. meaning everybody has been served.
Yes.
So not a lot of plate clanking going on as far as, you know, pulling it from a tray, setting it down.
Because that's where the most noise is. It's not from right. while people are eating. Yeah.
Right. Or buffet weddings, which, you know, they're a fair share of those, all good. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of dinner, usually I encourage the cake cutting. I'm going to go over this again. I'm going to go off topic for a hot second. Reason being, for this region and the timing of it, is that so we get into the toast. When we get into the toast, your catering team can cart the cake off, start cutting it, start getting it served, because serving cake is pretty quiet, even if they're being placed on a table.
Yeah.
So when it's time to dance, it's out of the way. If you do the reverse and do toast first and then cake cutting, the timing pans out that when it's time for the party to start, here comes the cake slices.
Yeah.
And the cake always wins. Okay. Mm. So anyway, back completely on topic. So towards the end of dinner, you cut the cake and people are making their toast as people are finishing up their dinner. The room is quiet enough for it to work. It's not as noisy as you might think it would be in your head. Actually, nowhere near it.
Right.
They're already sitting still.
Yep.
They're settled.
Yep.
In most cases, well fed.
Yep.
And prepared to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just think it's just a matter of, it's not so much about straight through more than it is allowing it to be at a time that doesn't eat up too much time.
Yeah.
And doing it towards the end of dinner means two things are going on at the same time that actually can work together.
Yes.
Yes. It's not a battle.
And I, again, we're in different places. So
yes.
There are some places that we do weddings at where, like I said, it has to be one course after another. They don't break up dinner. I love when I don't have that restriction. And between courses, Lance and I just recorded an episode with a couple where they had been to a couple of weddings where there was this long lag in between courses, like between when they were clearing the salad course and bringing in the entree. That time frame is always empty, or more often than not empty. So one of the best things you can do if that's going to be the case is to insert the speeches then. So if you know for a fact that there is going to be a 10-minute space between when they're clearing first course and bringing in entree, fill it in with some speeches, why don't you? That's a great spot for that. I also love to do the cake cutting at that time.
Yep, anything which I think is awesome.
Yeah, because anything where everyone really needs to be seated anyway, might as well get it done there because they're already sitting down.
They're already seated.
They're already sitting down. So,
and this is not 1986 where it's like, hey, everybody, come watch us cut this cake.
No,
and
we don't get do me that wrong. Anymore.
No, we don't.
We don't do that anymore.
And it's not that they're not interested, but it's not a scenario where they have to run up on you. They don't have to be right there.
No, nope.
I can assure you 85% of the room can see it from where they are.
Yes.
And the one or two or three or four people that are really interested and want to walk up, they can walk up.
Yeah.
Stopping them.
Yep.
But no, it doesn't have to be hold everything. The couple's cutting the cake. Come on over. Right. Yeah. It's just a thing of the past.
Yeah.
And then not to mention, you do not want your guests' camera phone flash competing
with
the professional photographer's flash. Mm-hmm. Listen, they can spend all the money they want to spend on their camera equipment. It does not mean that said camera equipment can do anything about a flash of light that jumps in front of their shot at an oddball time and ruins it. And it happens.
It happens a lot.
So that cake cutting in, somewhat secluded is actually in your favor, if for nothing else, for the pictures that come behind it, which is all you have when the wedding day is over.
We're terrible about keeping on topic, Lance.
I know.
But it's something like I feel like we should say, because we don't know if they listened to that episode. So, I'm glad it came up again. Okay, so we talked about when these speeches should happen. They can happen, like you said, at the end. If you have like the kind of service where it goes from straight from through all the courses, salad, entree, dessert, or whatnot, and you still have to do them, you do want to do them before you bring people like parents out to the dance floor for the parent dances. Because what you don't want to do is have show someone else dancing when people are there like, oh, I wish I could dance. No. Get the toasting and speeches done, then go to the dance floor.
Yep.
End of story. Okay. Yep. When it comes to picking the people who speak at your wedding, if you don't feel like your best man and maid of honor are really best suited for this, It could be somebody else. It doesn't have to be them. And you also don't have to have this happen at your wedding. It's not a requirement anymore. Like, mm-hmm. you can let go of it. Like, we're saying it's okay. You can walk away.
Yeah. And
it's fine.
And it's, and, you know, again, you know, minus the guards of tradition.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say anything.
Mm-mm. Nobody's going to miss it. Nobody will know. Nobody will know. Like that TikTok thing. No one's going to know.
You're right.
Okay. So let's talk about preparing to give a toast. So I'm going to tell you a couple of good ones. That's a couple of good ones and a couple of bad ones that have happened. So remember when I was just saying a few minutes ago, like the person giving the welcome toast should, especially if it's like the father of the bride or father of the groom, whoever the host of the evening is. I think it's really important that you take the time to explain to them what your hopes are for that speech to be, for that toast to be, to give them a length of time. Let's just say that. Because I have the experience of a father of the bride who had had a little bit too much to drink in the first place. Just a little bit. Wasn't overly intoxicated, but just to a point where he was very free-flowing. He surprised us with a serenade as well and had a guitar and sang a song, which was lovely and so meaningful. And like, I had my hands across my chest, like, oh my gosh, this is so thoughtful. But again, we weren't prepared for it. And dinner's ready in the back to come out. Like, they're ready to come out with the salads. And because no one had told me, and it was a surprise from him to them, like, nobody knew that he was going to give his welcome speech, but there was also going to be a song with a guitar. So we went from thinking we were having a 4-minute toast to having a 10-minute. Here was the problem. He lost track halfway through.
Of the song?
Of the song. Twice. Okay. Twice. Lance, twice. Mm. So when I say that I am not exaggerating in the slightest, it was many, many years ago. I would say we were there for a solid 17 to 22 minutes, somewhere in that time frame. This went on. And this is the very first thing that happens when everyone gets in a room and they're sitting there and they're waiting for dinner. Can you imagine? So when you're speaking to your people, you got to give them length of time and you've got to restrict them just a little bit. If you are giving a toast, your preparation should be that, even if it's just free flowing from the heart, you kind of have some bullet points in your head of things that you want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something. But Lance, I think you said something so wonderful earlier. It's okay to go up there with a piece of paper. We don't see paper as much as we used to. Now we're seeing phones so much where they're like, they've got some bullet points on their phones. I would say I'm still thrown off a little bit by that, you know, visually. I'm still a paper person. So, I just think it's so sweet that they've taken the time to like write it out. But I totally understand why someone would just have the bullet points on their phone, because that's where we're at now.
Yeah.
It's 2021. So preparing in advance for your toasts is in really incredibly important if you want to have a good one.
And let's hang on. Let's put a paper clip or a thumbtack on preparing, because that's where we are. But I don't want to drift too far away from surprises. My thought on surprises is I get it. I understand wanting to, oh, this is going to be lovely and I can't wait to spring this on them. Okay, fine. I am a giver of surprises in certain scenarios.
Like bridesmaids who have a rap that they wrote for the couple?
Well, yeah, that can go. But here's my thing. And as couples, I would encourage you to tell your family and friends this, planner or no planner. Mm-hmm. If you're going to surprise me with something, find a way to tell somebody.
Yes.
Somebody. Yes. Like if the whole point is to keep it from me or us, the couple, that's one thing. But if nobody knows, you don't know what type of bulldozer you're running through this wedding that's already laid out.
Yeah.
Tell someone. And in most of the cases, they can run it up the flagpole and see if said surprise makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, it can go from being just a surprise that's just dancing around as a lovely thought in your head to, okay, here's how we make your surprise actually work.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Tell somebody.
So, I'm so, so glad you said that. It should have come out of my mouth. It should have been like, I'm so glad that you said that.
I had a wedding last night where a surprise was
but like the surprises are good, right? Sometimes some they of can them be, are yes. so good. Like, remember, Lance, you were just saying the other day, I haven't experienced, I know you've experienced them in the past. I've had some of the best bridesmaids, raps, speeches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, where I didn't know they were to happen. I knew that they were giving a toast or a speech, mm-hmm. but I mm-hmm. didn't know that they were like going to have this element. I didn't know they're going to break out into dance, but they were like, mm-hmm. Kel, I got something lined up with the DJ. I'm like, okay. Do I need mm-hmm. to add more minutes in? They're like, no, it's going to be cool. And I've spoken to him. Okay, yep. Great. 100% I think they're wonderful. I love, love, love when those kinds of things happen. But yes, as an engaged couple, please, when you invite these people to be a part of that kind of, well, that take that part responsibility in your wedding reception, let them know. If you're planning anything other than just talking, please let someone else know so they can make sure that it flows best for everyone involved.
Yeah. And if you know your friend that's part of one side of the couple has a planner, yeah, just tell them, hey, run it through the planner.
Yeah.
I can let you have your surprise and I'm sure it'll be beautiful, but it still needs to be managed within the context of the day. So please get word to my planner.
Yeah. And if there is no planner or coordinator, I definitely think it needs to be the MC. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So your DJ or your band leader.
Yep. So and I've had plenty of people. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And even, thankfully a fair amount of are able to find their way to me in advance. But even for the ones who have it, in most cases, they have a good sensitivity about catching me early. Like, hey, we're looking at doing this. It's like, okay, well, cool. Yeah, let me help you get this place in a spot where it has the best response.
Yes, exactly that. Exactly that. I'm really liking this discussion now.
Yes, mm-hmm. So necessary.
So let's talk about, for a second, Lance, things to avoid during a toast or speech.
Okay.
I've seen these gone way bad.
I'll go first.
Remember when you said you didn't have much to give? I know you do. You've been doing
I just said you would lead. That's all. So, Mr. and Miss, oh, I'm so funny. Oh, I'm so entertaining.
Oh, geez.
All good.
Oh.
Be careful not to turn the toast that's for the couple into your audition for open mic night at the comedy club.
Oh,
God. Because here's the thing.
True.
The toast is about the couple. What you don't want for any reason whatsoever is the people to be laughing at the couple.
Yes. Oh my! And people forget about that.
Yeah. Well, I think they're
trying to be funny.
Yeah, they adopt the whole show element, like, this is my time. And there's a middle ground. And when it comes to jokes, which, you know, hey, I love a good joke. I love a good laugh. Things don't have to be so serious and uptight. But the first thing to ask yourself is, can everybody laugh?
Yeah.
Especially both ends of the couple.
Mm-hmm.
If first, and that's the first question. If both sides of the couple can't laugh, you probably need to skip that joke.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And then part two would be, if the bulk of the room doesn't have a in to said joke, you should probably skip it. Because there's some stuff that were just a product of the moment and the people that were around when it happened, and telling the story isn't going to translate because they weren't there. They don't have enough context to connect the dots. And, you know, you're sitting there thinking you're about to deliver this great punchline and everybody's going to love the moment as you did as it, when it happened in real time, and it doesn't hit. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of that is trying to focus on entertainment. You don't have to focus on it. A lot of the times the stuff that's cute and funny and appropriate, it's natural. You don't have to really hunt for it. It's just kind of lingering there like, pick me. And you can do that and do it safely.
Yeah. So good. Really good points there, Lance. I want to say that I think some of the best speeches and toasts that I've heard have hit a few major points. First, they introduced how they are, their relationship with the couple and the bride or the groom, or the groom and the groom, like the individual that has asked them to play this role in their wedding. So you want to touch on that during your toast or speech. I also think it's great when that you can find words to say what they mean to you, what they like, you know, so your relationship with them is this. We met this way, very short bullet point on this. It doesn't have to be the whole story. It really doesn't have to be. But what they mean to you, and then also how, you know, what that this night has been about for you and all of the guests that are there. So you're speaking to them at that point. And then also, I think it's wonderful when you can bring in the people that are surrounding you and how you feel like as a whole, you feel about them. Do you know what I'm saying? So how everyone is relatable in this. Stories are wonderful, but they need to be short stories. Like, you don't need to tell about the whole night that leads up to the one funny part, you know? Or the part where you realize that he was going to be the best man at your wedding. Or, you know, like, it's just maybe a significant part. Like you said earlier, the highlights, you know, give the highlights. Yep. But most importantly, a speech or a toast should be well-rounded. And it should, consider the way that you know, the relationship you have with them, the, what is best about them or what you love about them most, and honoring them and honoring their marriage and why they've come to be married, or how you see them in the future being married, and how important it is in how honored you are to be there in that moment. And then the people around you, and that, you know, this is a big deal. Again, it's that you're honoring the guests that are there, like the guests of honor, the people that have just gotten married. You have to keep that in mind the whole time, that this is what you're feeling and saying to them. But you also want the people that are listening to all of this are feeling about it as well. Like, you know, that it's about that community there at the same time. That's a lot to put into a few words. I'm sorry. But I feel like those are the kind of the key points. And it does, again, key points. I think it's just that. Like bullet point stories through, you know, there doesn't have to be five stories. Oh, we were in sixth grade this one time, da, 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 and that's how I knew he was my best friend. And then there was this one time that doesn't, we don't need the one time. You know, we don't need that story. It doesn't need to be in there.
Yeah, so. And think of it as little bites, because people, you'd be surprised how people can fill in gaps.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
If I say Uptown Funk You Up, in your head you're going Uptown Funk You Up. I don't have to say it out loud.
Yep.
It's just there.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, just give them the bites. They can fill in the gaps, because those gaps are natural.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else that you can think of, Lance? That was okay.
I'm gonna say this as a hard and fast rule, because I've yet to see it have an outcome that's positive enough to take the risk. Do not bring up past escapades.
Good Lord, amen.
Now, for those that, because we've seen the couples where one, if not both of them, are really hot and they were really popular. Mm-hmm. All that's fine. The way that I've seen that work is always in the context of when they met such and such, I knew they were serious because everybody else disappeared.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That flies, because now you're making that point about
how great
this is. Yeah, it landed on them, mm-hmm. and it didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
If you start getting into specifics and there were all
unnecessary.
It's just, first of all, you're putting people are uneasy to include the couple, mm-hmm. because it's like only you know where you're going with that.
And they're the fear, sitting on, wondering, oh my God.
Yeah, is he going to go too far?
Yes.
And it's not even cute when you don't go too far. It's still, hey, we didn't need that moment. There's so many ways to be cute and entertaining and even talk about somebody, you know, that just had a lot going on without getting into stuff that's going to cause discussion later on. So what was he telling me about my best friend and you and, you know, who'd you meet first? And no, leave that alone.
Leave it out.
And I'm happy to say it's rare, but even those few occasions where it does happen, it's not pretty.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it takes a minute for everybody to calm back down. And again, that type of shaking the tree is not cute. It Mm-mm. never is. I've never seen it work, Mm-mm. ever. Mm-mm. And the wedding count between me and Kelly is high.
Yes, hundreds.
Yes.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. We might be at 1,000 between the two of us. Who knows?
Seriously. And it's never worked. Mm-mm. Ever.
No, it hasn't. It's backfired more. And, you know, think about when, and this has happened, when some of those people are still friends and they're at that wedding, mm-hmm. where they were brought up that way. And it's not cool. It's not cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you make it about the couple, you can't go wrong, because whatever's between them is between them. When you start bringing in other people, and even more so in any type of negative light, you are treading on shaky ground.
Shaky ground. Let me tell you something. Ooh, I'm thinking back to all of these times where I've just heard some really, really terrible things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do give notes to people to, like, it's just really inappropriate to also swear during because you don't know who's in the room, who's going to be uncomfortable with something like that. When you're planning for, and this is a big question, I feel like nobody makes this decision in advance or prepares for this decision. If you're going to be having two speeches or three, whatever the amount is, more than one person speaking for toasts or speeches, do not put the person who's going to be best first. You need to think about this, guys. Like, and I really, really mean this. Please put thought into this. I have learned my lesson with this, and I ask my couples, who is going to give the best speech at your wedding? Because they cannot be first. Because can you imagine if you are a person two or three that has to follow that? Can you imagine? Like, no. Let the headliner needs to be the headliner. Like, that's the last person on the stage. You have the warm up and you have the headliner. Just like when you go to a concert. So if there's someone who's going to be a little bit more timid or just give the shorter speech, who isn't always the funny one, who isn't a professional speaker, let them be first so they're not like thinking, oh, it's only going to make them like feel worse about it and be even more nervous. And also, it's just going to, it's not a good experience for anyone in the end. So put your best person last. Let them end the talking. End on a high note.
And the same goes for people with what ultimately ends up being a surprise because they don't know in advance. If yes. you've got some gigantic presentation, it can be fine, but you probably need to be last.
Yes,
exactly. A wedding I did recently, and the person won't hear, but even if they did, they'll recall this conversation. The father of the bride wanted to play, and he put it in context, just so you know. Mm-hmm. He wanted to play his wedding song for the room in the name of the couple. And I said, okay. And then me and the father of the bride were friends. Mm-hmm. I said, well, two things if you're going to do that. I said, one, when you present that, you need to physically say, I want to share our wedding song with you. If you just say this is our wedding song, you've made it about you. And I know that's not what you mean. So you need to help them understand that you're sharing the gift of this song and the words and what it means with your daughter, new son-in-law, and with the room. And I said, second, you need to go last.
Yep.
I said, because if we bust up in the middle of a what a toast with a full blown song, the people that follow you are going to be like, OK.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's not fair. This is what comes out. It's not fair. It's not fair. No.
Right.
Oh,
it's like I'm going to have Adam Levine, who's a personal buddy of mine, come out and do an acoustic serenade.
So
awesome. He better be last.
So funny you said that. We're going to see Maroon 5 at the end of the month. I'm so excited.
Oh, next very
weekend.
Cool.
Next weekend, yeah. Any other pointers that we should be giving to people actually giving chos? Oh.
I'll give a technical one.
Is it about microphones?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is, and here's the thing. And again, I don't intend to make these about me, and nor am I free of flaws. Okay, so different DJs setups are going to be different. If anything gets quirky, my suggestion is to keep talking. Now, yes, there are some things that are just totally outrageous, and you have to stop. Like, you know, if you're all of a sudden here. Yeah, well, hold up. Let that get worked out because your speech is going to get lost.
Yeah.
But if you hear a beep, you know, keep going.
Yeah.
Somebody that's on top of their game is working on it.
Right.
And you don't have to stop. Two, and this is an interesting technical tip. And then especially if you find that you're far away from the DJ, which by technical standards, that should not be an issue. The antenna that sends what you're saying back to the DJ is at the bottom of the microphone. So when you can, and this is both acoustically in your favor as well as technically in your favor, hold the microphone in the middle. If a couple happens to be close to me and they happen to grab it from the bottom, it's typically not a big deal because they're close and the proximity can overcome it.
Oh, you're actually talking about the actual mic,
the physical microphone.
Hold it in the middle of the microphone. Okay.
Yeah. The top and the bottom need to be exposed. The top for receiving your full voice. Mm-hmm. And the bottom, like I said, there's nothing about the bottom that looks like an antenna, but that's where it is. And
I
if you
no
put
idea.
A. Yep. And if you put a death grip on the very bottom and you're far away, all of a sudden you're going to start hearing shh, shh, shh. And the DJ can't really help you because he's not going to interrupt your speech.
Yeah. Okay.
And again, I give these tips because there are couples listening as opposed to other industry people, you know, in large part.
Yeah.
So these are things you care. You can literally, hey, hold it in the middle. You might be able to tell somebody else that. Hold it in the middle. You'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk. I didn't know that, so I'm glad that you said it. If you're giving a toast or speech and you have, if you want to be able to be, have two hands on a piece of paper, or you want to hold the glass the whole time and have, and basically you want to have, to not hold a microphone. If you want it so that, please let someone know beforehand that you would prefer a mic on a stand. Mm-hmm. It's a really quick and easy thing to do. And some people like it even just to feel comfort in a spot. Mm-hmm. It's not always possible. Some photo and photographers and videographers want you to stand right behind the couple. And so then that would be difficult to do because you're going to be in a wireless mic and you would be forced to hold it. But if you are on the dance floor or on the stage, just let someone know if you would prefer to have something on a stand so that you can hold your paper, especially if that brings you comfort. For a lot of people, I know that it does. Yeah. Also, for anyone who's given a speech or, you know, before, you're taught to make sure that you're paying attention to the to everyone that's in the room. And you do that by turning throughout your toast in your speech. I'm doing this in my chair as I'm saying this.
You did it very well, by the way. Oh,
thank you. Because you want to make sure that everyone feels like they're attended to, even though, because not all of, and this is another good point, some of your speech, again, is to right to the couple, and then some of your speech is to the people that are surrounding you as the guests, and you're speaking on their behalf at times to the guests of honor, the newlyweds. So a couple of things. Again, you're going to ask the DJ or band leader, MC, if it's possible for you to have a microphone stand if you would like one, or if you're just cool like holding a mic, totally cool, whatever. The photographer and videographer are doing their best to record and document everything that you're saying, but also how the guests surrounding you are reacting to you, and most importantly, how the couple, the newlyweds, are reacting to you. So if you're standing behind them or right next to them, that's going to be easy for the photographer and videographer to capture that easily. However, if you are on the dance floor where it's this huge open space, you might tend to be walking all over the place. If you can attempt to keep somewhat in the same area, the photographer and videographer is going to appreciate you very much, so that they're not like truly running around all over the place trying to capture all these things from different angles. They may have like multiple cameras going on, and so they can be like have one stationary on the newlyweds and then maybe one stationary on you. But if you keep moving left to right and front and back, and you're doing a dance, what's that? Dancing with the stars all over the dance floor as you're speaking, it can lead to a little bit of trouble. So if there's any opportunity for you to stay like in a 4x4 area, I would encourage you to try to do that.
This is not sarcastic at all. I love the A-type videographers that will pull out, you know, some floor appropriate tape, put an X down and say, stand here.
Like, this is your spot.
Right.
Because there's nothing bad about that. There's only good that comes out of it. It's great for the photographer and videographer. It's great for the audience and the newlyweds, because they can just focus in right in on where you're at. It's great for the DJ and the band for sound. You know, once you're not going to be worried about the, you know how sometimes you go to a wedding, guys, and what's that sound? Can you make that sound?
Feedback.
The feedback sound.
Yep.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's because of where you're at in the room in relationship with the speaker. Am I right?
Yep. You're 100% right. Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So the whole being stationary is wonderful when you can make it happen. Just a little side out there.
And you'd be surprised the advantages that gives a videographer for editing after the fact.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. If you're in one spot, they can do magic with, because it allows them to cut away from you when appropriate, come back to you, make you look your best, make you sound your best. When you start moving around, you introduce so many additional dynamics into what they have to do, both in real time and after the fact, to make that presentation everything it could have been.
Right. Exactly that. Exactly that. Lance, this was such a good episode. I'm so glad that someone asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great topic that I truly never thought of. Like, it didn't occur to me we should talk about this. Now that I'm thinking about it, I can't tell you the number of times that the person or persons giving chosen speeches came up to me right before we went into dinner and said, "Kel, what should I do, say, act, react, stand?" Like, they were asking all of the questions that we just gave answers to. Like, collectively, it is a huge portion of them.
Yep.
Like, there should be a book for this. You should write that. You have time.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I sure do. I sure do. I'll get right on it.
That was me 3 weeks ago. I'm going to write a to-do book real quick. I did do it, but I mean,
I was going to say, you actually did it, Taskmaster. So what's your problem, Lance?
Go write a book on toasts and speeches and how to do my weddings.
Don't come out of your room till you do.
Or they can just listen to this episode. So
yes, yes.
So with that being said, engaged couples who are listening to this, wedding pros who are listening to this, take this opportunity to be like, okay, I'm going to send you this link to the people who are giving chosen speeches so they can hear it. So they don't necessarily have to hear it from you. They can hear it from people who have heard hundreds of these happen. We're talking 3 to 4 a night, every single wedding. I've got 20 years behind me. Lance, how many do you have?
Oh gosh, 30 something.
Yeah. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It's actually, you know, we have to be in the thousands for when it comes to toasts and speeches. Yep. So we've really heard and seen the gamut of things.
I can see people doing math in their head. And granted, you know, I am grown, but I also started when I was 17.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Yeah. I guess my kids who grew up with, you know, because as long I've been doing this for 20 years and they're 19 and 23. Is that they grew up with this, so they've been to so many weddings, so they're gonna be able to say this, not that they're gonna be in this industry. I don't think either of them will touch it with a 10-foot pole, but they even know. So yeah, Lance, it's been a good one.
Yes, absolutely, yet another good one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you'll be back again this season for something wrap up.
I look forward to it.
It's always fun having you here.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lance.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to be able to share my wedding experiences and expertise with you, and that my co-hosts are so giving of theirs. We truly do want you to have the best time at your wedding, and our hope is that this podcast is helping you to make your engagement time while planning your wedding that much easier. May I ask a favor of you if this is the case? Would you just take a moment to leave a review of this podcast on your listening platform? It helps people just like you to find the podcast and to also find out their answers so they can make decisions. I would also absolutely love for you to give This Versus That podcast a shout out on your social media. You can find us at This Versus That Wedding Podcast on Instagram. And if you would like me to help you with a specific question, a wedding decision, please, by all means, ask. Send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. And maybe, just maybe even have you as a wedding guest on a future episode. How fun. Here's to another great wedding.